Thank you for downloading this podcast from CFC Jesus Ministries of Christian Fellowship Church in Chicago, Illinois. Support for this podcast comes from your generous gifts and donations. To find out more about CFC Jesus Ministries or our church, please visit www.cfcjesus.org.
Good morning and welcome into the house of the Lord. God is good. God is faithful. And I shared this on Monday night, but I want to share it again today. And, you know, if any of you want to help us financially with electric and all that upcoming gas, please feel free to do so. But I want to give you a great tithing testimony that I shared on Monday night. I won't name the person just for propriety's sake. But, you know, when we heard that Debbie got the house. You know, we were all so thrilled about Debbie's new house that's coming up. And basically, that was a supernatural miracle that in the natural should not have ever happened. But it did happen, and it's going to happen. And, you know, basically, I was thinking this week how interesting that was, Pastor Ken, that after Pastor Gil died and the situation with the house, Debbie was basically homeless for all practical purposes. And, of course, you guys provided our church for a place. But God saw fit to go above and beyond and give her this beautiful home that she's going to live in. And while that was happening, other people were saying, would you pray for me? Could you guys pray for me? And one girl in particular we began to pray for her, that really, if she has $10, a dollar goes to God. She's that diligent with tithing. I mean, it is just over the top. And, you know, when you don't see immediate results, like at McDonald's, sometimes you feel like, well, God, when is it? Where is it? What's going on here? But let me tell you something. We prayed one night specifically for supernatural blessing and prosperity. Supernatural. And about a week after that, on a Saturday, she got up and there were thousands and she's here today, sitting here today. There were thousands and thousands of dollars in her bank account that she did not earn and she did not deposit there. God is a rewarder. Obedience unlocks the doors in our lives. I was talking about that just last night with my niece, that God always provides for his own. He is so faithful. So let's get excited about the things of God and excited enough to be diligent with ourselves and obedient. So this morning, do you want to greet before we get into this? Or let's get into this. Okay, the title of the message this morning is The Giants in Your Land, The Giants in Your Life. And we'll go through some steps how to remove the giants out of, exterminate. This is like an exterminator message. I want to say this. Today we're going to talk about the giants in your land, your life, your backyard, in your backyard. And sometimes giants grow up. They seem small at first, but they grow up, and sometimes they just show up. Okay, and they either grow up or show up in your life, in your backyard, and we're going to talk about, of course, Goliath, the name of a giant, but I want to say something to you that God just put in my spirit. Every giant you will ever face has a name. The giant has a name. Your giant could be fear, it could be a person, it could be an addiction, it could be rejection, it could be poverty, but it has a name. And like the movie Facing the Giants, you're going to have to face your giant and deal with that giant once and for all, because if you don't, he will taunt you forever, and I'm going to talk about that in a minute. And he will win every battle if you don't face him and face him in the fear of the Lord. Here's the thing. If you fail to defeat the giant in your life, he will defeat you. He will defeat you. And you cannot coexist with the giant either. Well, I'll just keep this fear around. You can't live with a snake in your house. You can't coexist with the giant. So in talking about Goliath, and I'm going to be quick with this, Goliath, this Philistine giant, taunted Israel for 40 days, day and night. And he seemed bigger. And let me tell you something. The giant was bigger than David, but God was bigger than the giant. And he seemed huge, and your giant may seem huge. But here's the thing. I noticed that taunting day and night. Have you ever had a giant in your life, a problem in your life, that it was there in the morning when you woke up, and it's the first thing you thought about, like, I'm still here, and that's still hanging over me. And then when you went to bed at night, like I told the story of the vision with the stuffed animals on my bed, one said rejection, fear, that when you went to bed at night, the enemy was still whispering, you're not going to make it. You can't take this much longer. And here's what taunting means, mocking. Satan wants to mock you. So let me read this. 1 Samuel 17:8. And Goliath stood and shouted, screaming angrily and pridefully, note, to the armies of Israel and said to them, why have you guys even bothered to come against me? Why have you even set this battle up and got ready for it? I am a Philistine, and you're just servants of Saul. So just pick a guy and let him come down to fight me. Now, let me say something about that. I always find humor in the Bible. There is no one that wanted to be picked to fight the giant. Let's pick Ken. He's like, no, not me. Pick Frida. No, I don't want, no one wants to be picked. So there were no volunteers. But in studying this, something that occurred to me, because we all have giants, and that includes each and every one of us, I would ask myself, first of all, where was their fearless King Saul? Where was fearless King Saul, their commander? Well, basically doing nothing. But I asked myself the other night when I was preparing this, why did you pick me, God? And you know what he said before I could get the words out of my mouth? I've anointed you for this. David was anointed for this. I didn't pick me, by the way. I didn't volunteer either. Just so you know, God chose me. And he chose you to fight the giants that you're going to have to, because he knew that he anointed you. So let me just say this. I'm going to hand this to Pastor Ken, and he's really ready to go. I want to say this. Stop putting up with the bullying of the enemy. It's not just a schoolyard problem. It's a spiritual problem. Don't let him bully. Don't let him mock you. You got to stand up to your giant.
That's a good word, bully. That's exactly what Goliath was. He's a big bully, and that's what our giants are too. And mostly what they're doing is they're lying. Notice that Goliath mocked David's God too. Mm-hmm. So that's one of the things that the giants in your life will do is mock your faith, mock your love for Jesus. I love this story. I think I've always loved this story. Who doesn't love David taking a slingshot and, you know, hitting Goliath in the head and killing him and taking the sword and chasing after the whole Philistine army and having them run away? And what a tremendous story of faith. The title of this message was The Giant in Your Life, but I think we've amended it to The Giants. I don't know anyone that just has a giant in their life. You got the whole Philistine army sometime. But what this is a picture of, if you take the story as the whole story, it's a picture of how we should respond to the giants in our life. We see how the army, and I say that with quotation marks, the fearful army responded by shaking and hiding. Notice they did a lot of shouting. They were pretty good at shouting. But anyway, so the army is a picture of how we should not respond, where David is a picture of what faith does. And so if you just, well, how did David respond? He ran at the enemy screaming the word. He ran towards the problem speaking the word and speaking about what God was going to do, his covenant with God. David is not the first person that'll face giant, and we won't be the last. You face them too, and we really have to put ourselves in this story. And I just want to say this. I want to use the word paralysis. Fear causes paralysis. And you might relate to that, because when you're in fear of anything, it will cause you to shut down. Right, where you know you should be doing things, you know you should be moving forward, but you can literally sit there and for hours and hours, and because you've become spiritually and even physically paralyzed by the fear. But we're going to learn how David dealt with this, and it's amazing. So let's look at David, mighty warrior David. Someday they'll sing, Saul has slain his thousands, but David his 10,000s. Won't make Saul very happy. But when you say David, mighty warrior, it's kind of funny because he was David's shepherd boy. He wasn't no mighty warrior. He was a pretty good shepherd. Yeah. He said, a lion comes, and I'm stepping up. A bear comes, and I took down the bear. He took down a bear and a lion. They should not have discounted him as he's the shepherd boy. Who has that on their resume? You know, that hand-to-hand combat against a bear. You know, only David. But they didn't know that because they didn't know him. His own brothers didn't know him. As a matter of fact, the first time when the prophet said, get all the sons, they didn't even bring him out. It wasn't even, he's the shepherd boy. He was nobody. Don't let anybody write your future and tell you who you are, that you are a nobody. What stood out about David wasn't his physique or his skill. It was just that he trusted God. That was it. That's what made him an unlikely hero. He wasn't 10 foot tall like Saul. He wasn't giant like Goliath. Saul wasn't 10 foot tall, but Saul was tall. That was one. He was taller than anyone else in the land. So David didn't stand out for his physique, but it was just that he trusted God. So his father had said, okay, your brothers are in the army. And I can tell they got their army uniforms on, so they just figured they were out there fighting. David's going to find out what the army looks like. And he says, I've made some grilled cheese for your brothers. They were cheese sandwiches. I hope he grilled them. You know, you're not just putting them on. You got to have some butter and grill that bread. So he's basically the Uber driver, right? I mean, the Uber Eats, right? Whatever that is. That's it. He's not going to fight a great battle. He's going literally to deliver 10 cheese sandwiches to his brothers who are screaming at Goliath, and they're all shaking. So this is a great story. So that sets it up. What's our next thing?
You know, I think that's interesting. The point you brought up is how significant it was that David was completely overlooked by his entire family, including his father. I mean, it shows you that we can be overlooked by many people. But I want to give you a prophetic word to you, first of all, that you need to hear, that you are not overlooked by God. God has not overlooked you at all. But I want to tell you about someone else who has not overlooked you. The enemy has not overlooked you. You know, we don't often see ourselves, but he notices. He sees, he watches our patterns. They go to church. If I had a message to give the devil, I would tell him, hey, this, on my hardest day, when I am sitting in the Target parking lot weeping out of brokenness, I'm better than you. I'm greater than you. You know why? Because the anointing. I may look like this to you, but you know what? I said this before, I'll say it again. The reason that you feel like all hell has come against you is because all hell has come against you. Why has all hell come against you? Because you are noticed. You are known in heaven. All of heaven knows your name. And my prayer is that all of hell knows your name too. You are someone to contend with. And so don't ever count someone out. Don't ever say, because you know what? God can use that one on the back row that you may have overlooked. They're the one. They're the one. They're anointed. And they're called by God because there is only one anointing. And I've always said this about King Saul. Let me give you a quick teaching from Monday night. King Saul did not have to fall. He was Israel's first king, and he could have been the greatest king of Israel. He was anointed. There's only one anointing. I hear people all the time say, Ken's anointed for this, and Tony's anointed for that. And, you know, no, there's one anointing, and it's the anointing of the Lord God Almighty. And King Saul had the same opportunity, the same anointing, and he was disobedient to God. David had it, and look what he did. He took it and ran with it. So don't ever count somebody out. Don't ever start letting your mind go there. But I love how things happen in order. Here's the thing that I see in Ken, when you were talking about the cheese sandwiches and stuff, this is what I see in that. You're going to see a picture. Let me set a picture for you. The father gives the word. He gives you a small assignment first. I need you to do this. I just want you to be an usher. I want you to show up on time. I want you to do what's supposed to do your tithes. Do this, do that. He gives the order. The son, is anybody getting this yet at all? The son obeys the will of the father. Is that not a picture of our Father God and the son? Obeys the order. Let me tell you, the picture of Father God sending his son as our provider. He was taking the provision to them. His son was obedient to the word and the will of the Father, and that's why we're protected today from the giants. That's why we're provided for by God. That is why Goliath in your life or fear in your life will never win, but will always lose the battle. Let me tell you the first step, because we're going through this step by step. The first step in becoming a giant slayer is to be obedient to the word and the will of the Father, even if you don't understand, why do I need to attend church? Why do I need to tithe? Why do I need to love my neighbor? Why do I have to forgive them? The first step in you facing your own giant down and you winning is to be obedient to the will of the Father. Because up until this point, Ken, David was an unknown. He was overlooked. He sat in the last row, but he was marked by God, and he had a divine destiny. And God has an assignment for you, and it's a big assignment. And people tell me all the time, no, what I'm doing for God is pretty small. I tell you, if you give a cup of water in his name, it is a great thing. It is a great thing because God is a great God, because you're doing it simply for him. So all of this army, we're in this valley called Elah. Does anybody here know what Elah is? Because I'm a Bible teacher. Anybody know or remember? Okay, you got to come back Monday night. You got to be here because you won't know this. Elah means worthless. The word Elah means worthless. They were in a valley, which means worthless and alone. Have you ever felt like you were in a valley? You felt worthless. You felt alone, overlooked, insignificant. And to top it all off, here comes the giant, too. Like, wow, as if I didn't have enough problems. Let me tell you something. The third step, there's many other, but in becoming a giant killer, we need to realize that we are not worthless and alone, that our identity is in Christ Jesus, and David was anointed king, but so are you. The Bible says we are kings and priests of the Most High God.
Identification is everything. I'm so glad you went there. Identification is how you see yourself. The children of Israel, they saw themselves as, if you said, who are you? They would have said, I'm in Saul's army. They saw themselves as part of Saul's army. David saw himself as part of God's army. And how do you see yourself? If I said, who are you? You might say, I'm an American. You might say you're a Democrat or a Republican. You might say what your job is. But who are you? You go, well, I'm a scientist. But David saw himself, I'm someone in covenant with God. And when you talked about why do I have to come to church, we have to come to church to remind ourselves, this is who I am. This is ground zero. This is coming back to our touchstone saying, I belong to God. So when I'm out there Monday and Tuesday and Wednesday, I still have my feet here on the foundation of God. That even though David was just out delivering sandwiches, let me tell you, you said he was an unknown. Where was he all this time while everyone else was training? He was out there writing songs. He was out there writing psalms. He was out there writing songs. He was out there composing. He was learning to walk with God. He already knew about his covenant with God. He was a covenant man that went and delivered those sandwiches. And so he was ready for that challenge, because what got David's up, what got his anger up, what got David in motion was hearing him defile God. And he's like, how dare he defile our God, our covenant God? So let's go back to this scene. Let's just kind of try and time travel back. We got Goliath. His face is red. He's screaming. He's shouting. He's being a bully. He just has a punchable face. You just want to punch. Satan has got a really punchable face. The way he just taunts, you just want to, and that's what we're supposed to do, resist the enemy. We're not supposed to lay down in the road and let Satan roll over us. We're not supposed to cower in fear. We're supposed to stand up, and that's what David did. He said, oh, no, you don't. He drew a line in the sand, and he said, Goliath, you have crossed that line, and David started looking. Because they started looking, well, what kind of armor would he fight with? You know, he's trying on this oversized armor. He's like, come on, this isn't me. I'm just going to fight like I always fight. And he found a rock. And Jesus is the rock that comes out of heaven and destroys. And David threw the rock with the slingshot. You throw the rock with the, it's the word of God that comes out of your mouth, which always confused me in the, as a child, because Jesus has a sword coming out of his mouth. And I thought, that doesn't make sense. No one puts a knife in their mouth, but the word of God, it comes out of your mouth, and it is the rock that strikes Satan and destroys him. But, you know, he met all this opposition. It's not like, I'm going to go destroy Goliath, and everyone's like, you go. They're like, you're going to get killed, and don't go, and, you know, who do you think you are? And they were arguing with him. Isn't that something that people in your own family sometimes will try to stop your faith? Don't ever throw water on someone's dream of faith. Man, I remember people telling me I was way too young to be a minister. People were like, he can't be in ministry, he's too young. And I'm like, what does that have to do with anything? And I thought, well, just wait a while, I'll get old. You know, that my decision to serve God, I made that at 8, you know, or 7 or 8. You can say, well, I was too young. Don't tell me that. You know, I found out who, that's my identity. That's who I am. That's who I am more than anything else, is I belong to God. So we have Goliath taunting everybody. You can't make it. Just like you have the enemy taunting you with your fears. You're not good enough. Your addictions talk to you. Your fears talk to you. Your future talks to you. Lack talks to you. But David got mad. He realized he was a covenant, and David took a stand. What a wonderful story.
You know, it is very, very interesting that David came upon this battle and there was no battle, that there were people all dressed up. You know what that reminded me of when I thought about it in the spirit is people all dressed up coming to church, but they're not doing anything often. That's just calling out. I'm not talking about this church, just church as a whole, that they're dressed up, they're ready, they claim to be fighters, but they're running away. They're running away from the giants. They're not facing the giants. And David came upon this scene. And I want to just tell you, it's not an option to me to do nothing. Doing nothing is not an option. They were running from the enemy. Instead, the Bible tells us that we're to resist the enemy, that we're to put some pressure, and he's going to run from us, not us running from him. So you don't have to run from your giants. Your giants can instead run from you. And verse 25 in this says, and the men of Israel said, have you seen this man who's come up? And yes, David had just seen him. And David, by the way, had just heard the taunts of the giant, of Goliath, saying, I'm going to do this and I'm going to do that. And they, you know, asked for someone. But here's the thing. And they were telling David this because David was inquiring about the reward. What's going to happen to the one who killed? David was not near as interested in what the giant was saying as what the reward was. What's going to happen to the guy? He was so excited about that. You don't have to pay taxes. That's good. You get the king's daughter. There's lots of rewards. You know, I think this was so cool. I think in his heart he said right then and there, I'll take the job. But then there was the issue of the family, and we're going to talk about that for a minute. There are people in your own family who will not honor or respect the anointing on your life, and they will even mock it and taunt it too. Oh, every Sunday, right? Yep, that's, you go every Sunday. Sometimes Sunday night, yep, Monday too, and just like, oh, and where's that got you? You got all kinds of things going on in your life. So Eliab, one of David's older brothers, came up and he began to taunt David. And basically he mocked him and he said, why have you come here? Who did you leave the sheep with? Which was, by the way, none of his business. You're in pride. You're calling me out in pride. I'm bringing you food. I'm helping you. I'm ministering to the army, but you call me in pride. And Eliab said, you have a wicked heart. You just came to see the battle. I would have asked Eliab, hey there, where is the battle, by the way? You guys are just all standing around. Where would the battle be? Because there is no battle. I didn't come to see no battle. I'm just bringing lunch. I see a bunch of weak men standing around. I see some guys running back home, but I don't see no battle. But here's the thing. People can misjudge your heart and who you are. Big mistake. Big mistake. He was about to become a national hero. Thank you very much, older brother of mine. Let me tell you something. People don't like it when you say, this is what I'm going to do in God's kingdom. This is what my plans are. This is what I'm going to have revival. There's revival going on in my heart. And I'm hearing from God. And I'm seeing this and I'm seeing that. And people, I notice sometimes, even giving testimonies of things that happened to me, I notice that people, they don't want to hear it. It's like, but you don't get it. This could happen in your life too. But they don't get it. But I'm going to say something to you, and if you don't hear anything else I say, the few of you who are here today need to hear this. If you do not face the giants today, your children and grandchildren will be taunted by even greater giants. They will face the giant. If you don't wipe out the alcoholism in your family, if you don't wipe out the pornography, if you don't take a stand, it will come through the generations. I recently heard a testimony of adopted children that had nothing to do with their family growing up, didn't even know them, but have some of the same genetic and DNA and problems as they do. How does that happen? It is passed on through the bloodline, and unless you submit to the blood of Jesus Christ, it will be passed on to your children. You better face the giants today, and I pray that that would stir you in some way. But Eliab did not want to fight Goliath, so if I didn't want to fight Goliath, it's easy for me to criticize Ken. Oh, you think you're going to fight that? You think you can do that, Ken? Oh, you go right ahead and try. Have you not heard how big this is in our family? Or isn't it? It's jealousy. It's envy. It's mocking because you don't want to do what I say I'm willing to do. And let me tell you something. In the natural, the odds were definitely against David. The odds were against him. But let me tell you what. I'm going to say it like this. Many people believed the giant was too big to kill, but David believed the giant was too big to miss. Too big to miss, not too big to kill. You got to have it in your heart. This is too big for it not to happen. God, I'm asking you for a miracle. Right now, I'm asking God for a miracle in my life. And many would tell me, that's not going to happen. People have a free will. They have a choice. They got a million reasons why that can't happen in my life. And I'm like, this is too big. God's too great not to do this. He's too great. He's too good to me not to do this. So let's face the giants and let's believe that with God's help that they will be defeated.
So David was anointed, of course, before he ever met Goliath. But I wanted to point out that you have been anointed also. Yep. And I'll talk about that, but when you're anointed by God, it doesn't mean you'll be used by God. Lots of people have God's anointing, but they never develop it. They never use it. They only find out in heaven that God wanted to use them in a major way. But we were too afraid to stand up or didn't stand up. So we all are anointed. I believe, look back to when you were baptized, that physical picture of the water coming off of you and the Holy Spirit falling on you. We talked about that a few weeks ago. But every one of you that were baptized, I want you to remember that because I want to think back to that moment. I'm telling you, you were anointed. The same way that David is anointed, you were called to do amazing things in the kingdom. The humor in that story, talking to his brother Eliab, it said in verse 24, after Goliath spoke, that they were sore afraid. Sore, that means I would love to go fight him, but I got this football thing. Man, you know, David, this old injury. I'm sore. You know, I can't go out. They all had a reason not to go out. And Pam, you're so right. Just don't let someone quash your faith. You know, get your faith up as high as that's why you don't always share everything God shares with you. There's some things that God shares with you that you're meant to keep to yourself. I don't know that David was fearless. I don't know that Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego were fearless. I don't think I would be fearless. I think anyone can fight when they're fearless, right? I mean, you put those bee suits on me that stop bee stings, I'll go out and fight bees. I got a bee suit on. I don't think that takes courage because I'm protected. I think it takes courage to fight when you are afraid. I think it took courage for Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego to say, we're not sure how this ends, but we know one thing. We don't bow our knee. They knew who they were. Even when they were afraid, they still stood up to the giant. That's what I want to tell you today. You may be in fear of your giant and say, I don't know if I can. You just stand up anyway. Even if your legs are shaking, you stand up. And when we close the service today, when we stand up, I want you to stand up against your giant. I want you to stand up and say, no, no, God is on my side. Every need shall be supplied. So David's brothers underestimated him. Goliath underestimated him. Satan underestimates you. Satan would say of Job, oh, he'll curse God. If you bring anything wrong in his life, he'll turn against you. Satan didn't know how strong Job was. Satan doesn't know how strong you are. Satan doesn't understand that you've been anointed to do this, that you've been called by God. 1 Samuel 17:41. The Philistine walked closer and closer to David. Goliath looked at David in disgust. He saw that David was only a handsome, healthy boy. Goliath said to David, what is that stick for? I don't, maybe he was looking at the slingshot in his hand. He got this little slingshot. Did you come to chase me away like a dog? Then Goliath used the names of his gods. That was really, really effective. In the name of the sun god. David's like, you know, no, it's not doing anything. He said to David, come here and I will feed your body to the birds and to the wild animals. He basically said, you will die. And normally when Goliath started getting all, people turned and ran away. And I'm always imagining that because there's such a crowd on each side and everyone's watching and they're straining to hear. If there's people in the back that can't hear what's going on, it's like, what's happening? What's happening? It's like Goliath is screaming at David. Now David is screaming at Goliath. And now David is running. And they're like, we knew it. We knew he'd run. No, he's not running away. He's running right at Goliath. And what's he saying? He's saying, I'm going to cut your head off. What? He's running at Goliath. And I think it's interesting that Goliath mentioned, are you coming at me with just a stick? And I can imagine David saying, yeah, this is my slingshot named Smith. And this is my rock named Wesson. And me and Smith and Wesson, you're about to meet us. David just was fearless. As a child, I love that faith. I loved him saying that, have you come against God? He brought God into it. And then the fact that the rock represents Jesus. And he fired that rock and it was over.
What a cool story. What a cool testimony of his to someday be in heaven and be able to sit down and say, how was it? How did you feel? Because really, Ken is right. Pastor Ken's right. You can fight courageously even if you're afraid to face it. Sometimes you might have to go to a doctor's office and face a giant. You need to just face it. I was telling the story how about 2 years ago, I went in, you know, for the usual mammogram that they always say something is wrong with me. And this time they were like, we have to get a doctor. We have to get the head doctor in here. Something is wrong. Something is definitely wrong. And I'm in there and they left me alone for a while. And I literally just looked up to heaven and said, God, I'm going to use this time right now to talk to you about this. Before they get in here to speak to me, I need to speak to you. I need to hear from heaven. God, I am trusting you no matter what I hear. Now, they heard things. Sometimes we hear things, right? They heard what the Goliath had to say, but I need to hear what God has to say. And I love David running at Goliath. And he's, by the way, he was saying the same things that Goliath's saying. Goliath's saying, I'm going to cut your head off. No, 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 no. That's not how it's going to work. I'm going to cut your head off. You know, that is, you know, I wish the enemy would just admit, he's afraid of me. He's afraid of you. He fears you. We don't need to fear him because he fears you. He's the one who has to go run. And David said, I might kill you. I'm going to try to do this. Now, hold still because I got the slingshot. Could you just, let me get a little closer. He literally ran toward the giant. I think we need to run towards our giants. And we need to run shouting. You know, it's interesting that the giant was shouting. And what my word to that would be, church, shout louder. Shout him down. Shout louder. And he killed him with the one rock, and he did everything he said he was going to come. So I guess, we definitely want to worship, and we definitely want you to come and stand up here and stand against your giant. It's time to stand the giant down and say, I'm here. Hey, devil, watch me. I am here. I'm trusting in the blood. I'm trusting in the power of the Holy Spirit. I believe in the cross. So my question to you would be this today. Who in your family is going to be the one that steps up here? Who's going to be the one that steps up to the plate and says, I'm going to do that? Because it ain't Eliab. You may be thinking about Eliab in your family. You may be thinking about Shemaiah in your family. They're unwilling to do it. Someone has to say, I will cut your head off. You've now messed with the wrong person. I have the anointing of Jesus Christ. So let me just go real quickly through some steps, and then Pastor Ken will share with you, and then we're going to have a time in altar. Here are the steps to take the giant out. Number one, obey the will of the Father. That's a given. Number two, be faithful to serve in the small ways. Serve people. Take the cheese sandwiches. Serve. Number three, know who you are in Christ. You are anointed, blood-bought, word-taught, on fire, inspired. And when the devil comes around, don't back down. Be willing to fight when others are unwilling. You're going to see a lot of people that say, I ain't, I won't, I can't. You need to be willing. Number five, declare the will of the Lord. David said, I will defeat you on this day today. Declare it. And number six, fear no man but God alone.
All right. God has not given you the spirit of fear, but of power and of love and of a sound mind. So I like that it calls it a spirit of fear. We should call it a spirit of fear too. It is a spiritual thing. What is fear? It is worrying about tomorrow. It is worrying about tomorrow. Why shouldn't we worry about tomorrow? Because Jesus didn't promise you tomorrow. He promised you, now I'm with you. I'll be with you forever. There is no tomorrow. There is no yesterday. There is today. And is Jesus taking care of you today? Why are we worried about tomorrow? Wasn't yesterday today? It was. Didn't he take care of you yesterday? Wasn't the day before today? Yes, it was. It was today. He's always taking care of you. Just like 39 years walking in the wilderness, manna every day. I wonder if he'll do it today. He's done it for 39 years. You think he's going to stop? He's going to be the same yesterday, today, and forever. Let's talk about the spirit of fear, though, and the fact that it is a spiritual thing. It's real, just like the Holy Spirit is a real person. There's a spirit of fear. There are evil spirits, right? And the spirit of fear, you can tell it's real because it causes real physical symptoms. It will cause, if you're afraid, it will cause you to sweat. It will cause you to tremble. It may cause you to panic. Even if that fear is totally in your mind, it doesn't matter. It will cause paralysis, right? It will cause you to be spiritually paralyzed. Now, I want you to, we just got to be honest. Are you living in fear? Are you paralyzed about certain things in your life? What is the name of that fear, that quicksand that prevents you from moving out and moving forward? It's the same paralysis that army. They're just hearing Goliath. They're just shaking, and they're waiting, and they're not even sure what they're waiting for. But here's the good news. Jesus said, fear not, over and over and over. He promised he would take care of you. He promised he would be your provider. He promised he would be your shield. He promised he would rescue you, that he would lift you up, that he would put you on a rock. You replace the spirit of fear with a spirit of faith. You replace the unholy spirit with the Holy Spirit. You trade your sorrows for joy. You trade ashes for joy. You replace a spirit of fear with the garment of praise for the spirit of heaviness. You realize the truth that God is the source of your life. He is your provider. He gives you every breath. He's the responsible for your heartbeat. He's responsible for everything that you eat. He's responsible for the air that you breathe. He's responsible for your salvation. He is your provider. He is your friend. He is your savior. He is your future. He is your hope. He is your everything. Without Jesus, we have nothing, but with Jesus, we have confidence. We have confidence in tomorrow. You are loved. You are beloved. You are chosen. You have a place. You have a space. You belong to God. And God is on your side. David did not fight Goliath. David went on that battlefield with Jesus at his side. He wrote the 23rd Psalm. Yea, though I walk through the valley, the shadow of darkness, I will fear no evil, for thou art with me. You walk with God. He protects you. All it takes is a little bit of grit, a little bit of grit in your teeth and say, oh, no, you don't. I stand up for my family. I stand up for myself. I stand up for my health. I stand up for my God. And I'm like Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego. I don't know what happens next, but I know that my God is bigger than any problem.
God is good. He is faithful in every situation, no matter what your battle. Let's stand and you can make your way to the front. We're going to make a decision today. We're going to make a decision to face the giants in our life. And if nobody else in our family is willing to do that, we need to be the one that says that I am willing. I am going to do this. I can and I will. And no weapon formed against me will prosper. Any tongue that even wags against me will be brought to shame. God is counting on you. Other people are counting on you to do what God has called you to do. And if you're not the one, there's going to be someone. Someone will step up in the kingdom of God. They just will. And I want it to be me. I don't want somebody else to have to fight my battle. I don't want my children to have to fight my battle for me. I want to break all the strongholds that are in my family over my life. I can tell you that I absolutely have a giant that I'm facing. And every single day I call on the name of the Lord and I write it down in my journal. Today's a good day, God. You fight the giant in expectation of the victory yet to come. God is going to give you the victory if you just start running towards the giant. If you say, I'm stepping up today, I'm stepping up today, I'm stepping up my game. I'm not going to put up with the bullying. I will not let him taunt me. And let me tell you something that I didn't say, but I want to say. If the devil is going to talk trash to you and about you, you need to talk truth back to him. You talk trash about me, I've got something to say to you. This is the truth of the Word of God. I am anointed from head to toe. I am covered in the blood of the Lamb. And let me tell you, every shot against you, against me, against a child of God, you will miss every time. You will miss every time. I will hit the mark every single time. Father, we come before you in the name of the God of the universe, our creator, our maker, our king. Father God, we come before you, God, today. And we thank you for victories and battles we have already won in the past, Father God. And Lord, now, therefore, Lord, we thank you for victories yet to come, Father. Victories that will happen this week and next week and next year. No matter how long it takes, we are running not from the enemy, towards the enemy, Father God. Father God, we're going to be known in the land. Before this is finished, people will not be talking about Goliath. They will be talking about David. They will be talking about Gio. They'll be talking about Frida and Janice and Mark and Vanessa. And they'll be talking about Leslie. They'll be talking about all of us. They'll be calling out our name. They fought the giant. They won. It will be a testimony. Father, give us opportunities, Lord. Father God, we speak to the giant today. You are nothing to me. You are nothing at all. My God is greater. He's going to do what he said he would do for me. And Lord, I expect it to happen this week, not next week, this week. In Jesus' name, we thank you, Father God. Father, if there are any giants that now come against the people of God who stand here on holy ground today, Lord, if there are any giants of sickness, disease, Father, we rebuke them in Jesus' name. I rebuke the sickness, Father God. I rebuke the disease. I rebuke spirits of rejection, spirits of poverty, Father God. Insecurity, Lord, all of those giants have to go down in Jesus' name. Father, we thank you for victory. We praise you for victory, Lord. We have it all when we have you, Jesus. Father God, you bless your people, Father God. We are not a people who have any lack in our lives because you bless us, Father God. We expect blessings to come our way, Father God, even like I prayed for that girl. Supernatural blessings, Father, I speak to come into their lives today. Father, in Jesus' name, we thank you. We praise you, Father God. We thank you for the sacrifice in Jesus' name. Hallelujah. Hallelujah, Jesus. Do it. Thank you, Jesus. Do it on our behalf. Father, on our behalf, do it for us. In Jesus' name. Father, we thank you. We just thank you. We are humbled. We are humbled by your love, Father God. In Jesus' name, we bless your people. Amen. We love you guys. If you ever need us, just a phone call away. Just shoot a text, anything. In Jesus' name.
Thank you for downloading this podcast from CFC Jesus Ministries, a Christian Fellowship Church in Chicago, Illinois. Support for this podcast comes from your generous gifts and donations. To find out more about CFC Jesus Ministries or our church, please visit www.cfcjesus.org.